You might have noticed a few hiccups in my worship leadership during the past month that I'm going to blame on my new glasses. These frames are a bit bigger than my last, which has made the fields of correction for distance, intermediate, and near vision in my lenses also a bit bigger, and apparently I haven't quite adapted yet. At times I've lost my place in my sermon manuscript, skipped over lines in prayers, misread words, and last week during the communion liturgy, you might have noticed that I started chanting the congregational response instead of my line. Fancy progressive lenses, cataract surgery, injections to treat macular degeneration, drops to treat glaucoma. You and I are privileged to live in an era when so many medications and treatments are available to improve, even save, our eyesight. That wasn't the case for the blind man in today's gospel, of course. We are told he has been sightless from birth. His childhood and teenage years would have been rough. There were no schools for the blind 2,000 years ago, no Braille books for him to learn from, no supportive services put in place so he could thrive with his disability. His life has led in the only direction the life of a blind man back in that day could possibly lead. He is now a beggar, surviving off of whatever people toss his way. But that's not the worst of it, because whatever sympathy people might feel for the blind man, when they look at him, they see sin. That's just how people in Jesus' day made sense of disease and handicaps, any kind of physical or mental illness or limitation. If you were sick, if you had something wrong with you, if you were a leper or were lame in one leg or had a withered hand, it wasn't because of a bacteria or a virus or lack of proper nutrition or plain bad luck. It was because of sin. Exactly whose sin it was is the question Jesus' disciples have for their teacher. Someone's to blame. Is it this man or his parents that he was born blind? We heard Jesus' answer a few moments ago. None of the above. And then Jesus proceeds with one of the ickier healings recorded in Scripture, a little holy spit, yuck, mixed into some dirt in the ground, ew, to make a muddy paste, which Jesus spreads on the blind man's eyes. Now, I think it's interesting to note that the blind man hasn't actually asked Jesus for help. He seems to be just minding his own business, sitting and begging as he has done day after day after day. We have no idea if the blind man has ever heard of Jesus before, or if he catches any part of Jesus' conversation with his disciples as they walk along. No matter what, it would have been awfully shocking to suddenly feel some kind of thick goo be smeared on your eyes and hear a voice tell you to go and wash. But go and wash, the blind man does. And he comes back, able to see. The Gospel of John doesn't report any of this, but I have to believe that the blind man, who hasn't before seen anything ever, that he walks around, at least for a little while, in absolute wonder, taking it all in. Colors, shapes, light and shadow, clouds in the sky, ants in the dirt, the faces that go with the voices he's come to know over the years. What an amazing moment for him. And you'd think for his community. But instead of generating joy, some laughter and hugs among his neighbors, maybe even a few happy tears, the news of the blind man not being blind anymore seems to throw everyone and everything around him into disarray. People doubt the story they're hearing and try to convince themselves that it must be a case of mistaken identity. This man isn't the man who used to sit and beg, they claim. I am he has to keep saying. Then there is this whole series of interrogations and accusations. How were your eyes opened? The formerly blind man is asked several times. How did you receive your sight? His parents are even questioned. Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? As all of that is going on, the healer, Jesus, is coming under attack. He's off stage for the time being. You may have noticed that John, our Jesus this morning, didn't have much to say for much of the gospel. But Jesus is certainly being discussed, and not in a good way. He can't be from God, for he doesn't observe the Sabbath, the Pharisees say. We know he is a sinner, the Jews say. Jesus causes a lot of disruption, doesn't he? And not just in this particular story, but over and over again in his ministry. Jesus calls fishermen to walk away from their lives and follow him. He makes crazy promises to the meek that they will inherit the earth, and tells the mourning that they will be comforted. He gives blind men sight and plunges others into the darkness of confusion. Jesus welcomes those on the outside in and leaves the ones who think they have all the answers about God looking on from afar, scratching their heads. The season of Lent we are now right in the middle of. It is, as we often say, a season of reflection, of repentance, renewal, a time to contemplate the journey of our Lord to the cross of Good Friday. But Lent is also a season of sight correction for us, of restored vision, of a world where the hungry are fed, the lonely find community, the sick are made whole, the lost are found. Of a world where love wins, peace wins, forgiveness wins, mercy wins. That's the vision Jesus suffered and died for, the one promised in the empty tomb of Easter morning. That's the vision, my brothers and sisters, that we are to help make known. Amen.